You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Is it Wednesday already? Happy hump day, everybody. Hope it is going well for all of you out there. I am joined this show by producer Jess. So if you give us a text or a call and you get Jess on the line, you be sure you say hello. We appreciate Jess very much here. We have a packed show as always, and we've got really extraordinarily timely guests today on the Maggie Dawn Show. In this half hour, I'm going to be joined by the Recombobulation Area, now Civic Media colleague, author, political commentator, journalist, Dan Schaefer. We've got some breaking news, I'm going to call it, that Dan is going to share with all of us. At 2:30, I'm going to be joined by Christina Reynolds. She is the Senior Vice President of Communications for Emily's List. If you have heard of Emily's List and you're like, well, who's Emily? What's this list about? How do I get on it? Why is it important in this year of the woman, as I have now dubbed it? Christina's going to explain it all to you. Of course, in the 3 o'clock hour on the Maggie Dawn Show, it is always Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. And folks, the Fed interest rate press conference is going on as we speak. Frankly, a somewhat surprising interest rate deduction or reduction. Not that the Fed brought the rate down. That was expected. But I think most prognosticators had it at a quarter point, a full half point interest rate deduction by the Fed. We're going to be joined by Dr. Rakeen Mahboud. She knows all about this. She was a senior advisor at the Fed. Nobody better to talk about the impact of the Fed's reduction on your pocketbook and mine. Big show, as we always have. And of course, folks, you're going to want to go get that Civic Media app from your favorite app store so that you can text to win in Civic Media's statewide Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. When Dom Salvia takes over the airwaves in the 4 o'clock hour, he's going to have the word of the hour. You're going to want to have your app ready so that when Dom drops the word, you can text using the app to qualify to win either $100 or gold jewelry in the 4 o'clock hour and be entered to win our grand prize, a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. Folks, I was never a winner, despite the probably hundreds of phone calls I made into radio show programs. You can be a winner with Civic Media in the 4 o'clock hour today. That contest, this statewide text to win the Green and Gold, will be going on this week and next. So don't miss those announcements. We have those hours where the code words will drop in the 7, 11 a.m. hours and the 1 and 4 p.m. hours. And so with all of that business out of the way, and without any further ado, please join me in welcoming Dan Schaefer, the political editor for Civic Media, the creator of the Recombobulation Area, the coolest Substack I ever came across. Dan, thanks for making time for us this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me, Maggie. Always happy to join the show.
Awesome. Dan, I am such a political geek, I am so pumped about, I'm going to call it news. It's sort of us breaking news, about the election cycle. But Dan, you are helping create for Civic Media and for each and every one of you out there what I'm going to call the definitive guide to state elections, both in the legislature, the state assembly, and the state Senate for this November election cycle. If folks, you want to know, Dan and Civic Media have got you covered. Dan, what have you put together to help folks navigate this election season?
Well, we've been pretty busy behind the scenes here at Civic Media for the last couple of weeks here as we've been building this. So in the last two election cycles at the recombobulation area, I have taken it upon myself to preview every last race on the ballot in the Wisconsin State Legislature. So that's half of the state Senate and all 99 districts in the Wisconsin State Assembly. That is, you know, something that a lot of people returned to, especially the 2022 preview that won the recombobulation area a Milwaukee Press Club Award for public service journalism. And now with Civic Media, we are ramping things up with this effort. And we have a full blown voter guide that is about to go live at Civic Media's website and at the recombobulation area, where we, yes, again, we'll break down each individual district by district breakdown of every race happening in the Wisconsin State Senate this year. That means it is 115 races that we are breaking down each and every one. And this afternoon, we will be publishing the voter guide for the Wisconsin State Senate. So with new maps this year, a whole lot of intrigue for so many of these races. There, so many of them are going to be much more competitive than we've seen in so many recent cycles. And not only that, there is a chance for Democrats to win control of the assembly. Might take two election cycles with the Senate to really realistically put that in play. And we can get into that as well. But the one that is publishing today is on the Wisconsin State Senate. We have broken down district by district. We have a variety of categories. There are projections. There is data. There is some embedded videos from interviews that Wisconsin Eye is doing. There is just a wealth of information that we have been putting together for you at Civic Media. So do stay tuned to our social media feeds, to our newsletter, to the Civic Media app to check that one out as soon as it is sent out. There is going to be so much information on these state legislative races, and with new maps, there are so many just remarkably interesting races happening all over the state as well.
Folks, if you're a fan of Steve Kornacki, the number cruncher that was all over the Olympics, he number crunched for the Olympics. He number crunches for NBC for every single election cycle. If you have gone to 538, one of the most well-known political prognosticators, listen, we're not going to call the races per se, but Dan Schaefer's just as good as Steve Kornacki, if not better, and 538. Again, if you are interested in politics, if you might live in one of these districts that is now a toss-up because we've got redrawn maps, Civic Media and Dan Schaefer, our political editor, have you covered. We think that this Senate voter guide, the state Senate voter guide, will be going live maybe even while we are on the air, Dan. It is imminent. Folks, you're going to want to go to civicmedia.us to check out the voter guide. Where can people continue to find the recombobulation area, Dan?
Yeah, the recombobulation area publishes on Substack, and you can support our work at the recombobulation area or become a free subscriber. And that is the best way to stay tuned in to some of the work that I'm doing with the recombobulation area and now part of the Civic Media Network. So that email is going to be hitting your inbox or your Substack app or wherever you might read the recombobulation area very soon. And I'm excited to share some of the information here. And, you know, I think just when you take a step back and look at the big picture, you know, for the state Senate, right now, the state Senate is a 2/3 supermajority in what is otherwise a 50-50 purple state. You know, we're having these races for president, for Senate, all these different things that can often be decided by just a fraction of a percent. But the maps in the state legislature have not reflected the reality of the political environment in the state of Wisconsin. So now with new, fairer maps, we're going to have a lot more competitive districts, a number of opportunities for Democrats to pick up seats. But it's only half of the state Senate that's up this year. And right. So when the, you know, it's some of the maps that were submitted renumbered the entire state Senate. The maps that Tony Evers proposed and ultimately signed did not. So the numbers that are every senator who is in an even numbered district is up this year. And so the senators that are in odd numbered districts happen to tilt 12-5 in favor of Republicans. So there are a number, you know, so getting to that, you know, 17 seat threshold to get a majority would be pretty difficult this year for Democrats, but they will need to win some of these toss up districts in order to be in that position for the 2026 election. And there are some really interesting toss up districts. There's one in the Milwaukee area suburbs along the North Shore in Ozaukee County. There's one in kind of the north of Dane County into areas like Baraboo, Wisconsin Dells, places like that. And then there's another really interesting one in the Green Bay and Brown County area. So those are really the toss-up districts. And then we go through as well to take a look at, you know, where some other pickup opportunities might be for Democrats. There's a seat in the Fox Valley that I think is going to be a really interesting one. Brad Paff, the incumbent Democrat in the La Crosse area, he's up for re-election this year. That's always that we know that one has been a closely contested race in the past. So we give you a lot of the context, projections from sites, some data from our friend John Johnson from Marquette University. And so each individual race here has its own write-up, has its own data, has its own page for you to just really dig in and explore what's really going to be a remarkable election for the state of Wisconsin, because under new maps, we've basically had unfair gerrymandered tilted maps for more than a decade now, and that has warped Wisconsin politics in so many different ways. And I think this is a reset moment that so many people have been hoping for so long in Wisconsin politics.
I'd call it warped beyond any recognition of something that even Republicans, if you hooked them up to the truth serum machine, would say is unfair. When you've got a purple state, you would expect your state legislature to reflect that in all of its purple glory, and we have not had that. We're going to talk about those implications. We're going to talk about those three toss-up districts with my very special guest, Dan Schaefer, creator of the Recombobulation and Civic Media's very own political editor. If you have questions for Dan or I, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. The phone and text lines are open. We're going to dig into those toss-up districts when we come back. You're not going to want to miss that. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. It is a landmark year here in the state of Wisconsin. We break it down next. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got Jess in the booth with me today and a fantastic guest. Who's giving you the keys to the kingdom, as it were. Dan Schaefer, the political editor of Civic Media. We're dropping today on Civic Media's website, which you can find at civicmedia.us and also at the Recombobulation Area, a fabulous Substack. What is a voter's guide to the Wisconsin State Senate? We've got new maps, folks. This is going to be a different kind of fall election. So much fairness injected into our legislature, finally, which I hope will bring about much more cooperation, much more collaboration, and I think mediation, meaning mediating to the middle, where I think the vast majority of Wisconsinites find themselves. If you don't know what district you may be voting in because we've got new maps, don't worry, you can go to myvote.wi.gov and check that out. Dan, I want to unpack a little bit these three toss-up districts that are now newly toss-up districts because of the new maps. Let's start with the 8th. This is the district that sort of bounces along the northern boundary of Milwaukee County and Ozaukee County. I was just visiting some friends up there, saw lots of signs for Jody Habish Sinikin, and she's running against Republican Dewey Strubel. Tell us about this race briefly, Dan.
Yeah, this is one of the most interesting races on the map for the state legislature because it pits two candidates here that, you know, kind of haven't really represented this district yet. Obviously, Jody Habish Sinikin is the challenger here. But Dewey Strobel, the district that he previously represented was District 20, and he lives in Saukville in Ozaukee County. And the previous district stretched all the way from Ozaukee County to the eastern shore of Lake Winnebago. Now, that district maybe didn't really make a whole lot of sense. Now he's in a district that pulls together a lot of those Ozaukee County communities, some of the North Shore suburbs in Milwaukee County and some of the surrounding Wau County areas. And this is a district that Habish Sinikin ran in a year ago when there was a special election to fill the vacancy left by Alberta Darling. Now, she overperformed in that race and made it really, really close. She came within less than 2% against Dan Knodel. Now she will be running against Dewey Strobel. And Dewey Strobel has been, you know, a longtime cog and kind of the Walker Voss Republican machine in Wisconsin. But he really hasn't represented, you know, communities like, say, Whitefish Bay or something like that. So it's going to be interesting to see if Strobel, who's pretty far to the right as far as things go in Wisconsin, can connect with a district that has been shifting really significantly. These North Shore suburbs, you know, the city of Whitefish Bay, for example, you know, in 2012 was like a 50-50 city. In 2022, it went more than 70% for Tony Evers. So this is, we've talked about in the past election cycles about how the suburbs are shifting to be more Democratic leaning. Well, this is a really, really interesting test case of how big that shift is. And this is a true swing district in Wisconsin. Yes. In 2022, this is a district that was won by both Tony Evers and by Ron Johnson. So yes, the two victors in the midterms both carried this particular district. So this is going to be an especially important one.
I'll also just say this. I'm going to give everybody a tagline here. Let's do it to Dewey and give him his marching papers. His politics are extreme. He is weird. Governor Walz, I'm going to call him Uncle Tim. Uncle Tim would call him weird. Dewey's got to go. Moving on from the 8th, we've got the 14th district in sort of southern central Wisconsin. Tell us about that toss-up, Dan.
Yeah, this is another interesting one. You have cities like, so it's the kind of north edge of Dane County, and then it also includes cities like Baraboo, Portage, Richland Center, and Wisconsin Dells. And so this is, you know, kind of a part of the state that can really be very swingy. This includes all of Sauk County. Sauk County has been a bellwether in Wisconsin, going for Obama in 2008 and 2012, Trump in 2016, and Biden in 2020. And so this is definitely emerging as one of the most critical swing districts in the state Senate. The Democrat running here, her name is Sarah Kieski. She is a political newcomer, but has worked as a mental health counselor for nearly 25 years and founded the community nonprofit in her district called Lift Lodi. There's actually a really terrific New York Times podcast called The Run-Up that did an episode in this district and featured Kieski in that one. She's running against Joan Ballweg, who is the 14th district incumbent. She's actually moving to stay in the district, which is interesting. But she is, you know, she's been a longtime member of the state assembly and state Senate. She has served there. She began in the assembly in 2004. But I think she's going to be the target of a whole lot of ads, particularly on the issue of abortion rights. She has a very long record of being anti-abortion. She has been on the record opposing exemptions for rape and incest. And the first TV ad that the Kieski campaign released last week was on that very topic. So I think that is going to be that, you know, we've seen that part of the state really swing when that issue has been in focus. I think this is going to be a particularly interesting test case for that issue in kind of, like you said, that south central Wisconsin area.
you know, as much as I so fervently believe in reproductive freedoms, if you happen to oppose reproductive freedoms because of your religious beliefs, it is just gosh darn weird to then oppose exceptions for race, rape, and incest. It is just ridiculous. She has got to go briefly, Dan. We've got probably less than a minute. Tell us about District 30, the last of these three new toss-up districts.
Yeah, this one is in Green Bay. And this will put Democrat Jamie Wahl against Republican Jim Rafter. And there are also a couple assembly districts within this state Senate district that are also going to be toss-ups. So Green Bay is going to be a huge, huge area to watch in the state legislature. And we'll have it all broken down for you at the Civic Media Voter Guide.
Dan will come back when we drop the voter guide for the assembly as well, folks. He is Civic Media's political editor. You can check out the Senate voter guide at civicmedia.us and at the Recombobulation Area Substack. I'm Maggie Dawn. It is the year of the woman, and I can't think of anybody better to talk about it with than the senior VP of communications for Emily's List. She's going to be with me next here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks so much, Dan. Keep it locked, everybody. We got more coming up next after these brief messages.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I have deemed it the year of the woman because, I'll just say this, especially Black women, they seem to be saving America yet again. And so it is with great, great excitement and honor and humility that I'm so proud to share with each of you listeners that every Wednesday in the 2:30 hour, I'm going to be joined by a representative of or a candidate or someone related to the incredible organization known as Emily's List, who can add to its list of success stories Vice President Kamala Harris, who hopefully will become our first female president of the United States. And to kick this off, I can think of no one better than Emily's List Senior Vice President of Communication and Content, Christina Reynolds. Thank you so much, Christina, for helping to kick off this special segment on my show.
Well, thank you for having us, and thank you for what you do to lift up the issues and to lift up the candidates. And I'm here for a year of the woman. I'm here for every year being a year of the woman. It's about time, right?
Oh, so you took the words right out of my mouth, Christina. I have always thought, even setting the Harvard Business School studies aside, that have demonstrated for decades now that companies make more money for their shareholders when you have more women in the boardrooms. We can look to any segment of our lives. We get better outcomes when you see more women in positions of leadership with seats at the table. So let's start at the beginning. What is Emily's List? How did it come about? Like, what is there an actual list? Like what's the deal? Who's Emily? Tell us.
A fun fact is Emily is not a name. It is an acronym. So let me back up for a second and get you started. 40 years ago, our founder, Ellen Malcolm, was involved in politics and was watching as women would come close to winning seats and not quite get there, in part because they were not the establishment choices. And people said, well, I don't know if they can win. And so they wouldn't give them money and then they wouldn't win because they didn't have enough money to win. And so Ellen said, and I should note at this point in 1984, not that long ago, no Democratic woman had been elected to the US Senate of her own right. And that's, again, not that long ago. And Ellen said, well, let's do something about it. So she gathered up a bunch of her friends in her basement. She said, bring your Rolodexes. And for any of our younger viewers, listeners, that is the content. I say that now sometimes. And I see people look at me, you know, what's a Rolodex? That's the contacts in your phone. But they brought their Rolodexes and they wrote all of their contacts and said, we're going to get Barbara Mikulski elected to the Senate and we're going to do it with $100 checks at a time. And literally, this was one of the first instances of what we now, it's a very common practice, but they did what's called bundling. They picked a candidate, they asked their friends for support, and they literally bundled up those checks for Barbara Mikulski and they sent them on. And at the same time, they asked people to also write a $100 check and support an organization that would be aimed at electing Democratic pro-choice women. And Mikulski was their first. And, you know, we love Barbara Mikulski, but she was not the last. Since then, we have expanded out into races up and down the ballot. We have expanded across the country and we have helped elect, we're very proud, more than 1,700 women. And that includes Vice President Kamala Harris. We love talking about Kamala Harris for a wide variety of reasons. But we love talking about her because we've actually been with her at every level of the ballot. When she ran for San Francisco DA, when she ran for Attorney General, when she ran for the Senate. And so she's kind of an example of what we do. And Maggie, you're going to have to stop me because I will ramble about, I love this organization, I love our mission, so I'll keep talking. But one of the things that we do, it started, you asked who Emily is, and Emily is an acronym that stands for Early Money is Like Yeast, because it makes the dough rise. Our mission, you know, when we started, it started with money, and it has since expanded out. So we wanted to help women raise money. We wanted to raise money for them. We still do that. We wanted to help them with everything from building a staff to, you know, learning how to do debate prep or do your interviews, to helping pitch them for interviews, to running independent expenditures, teaching them how to raise money on their own. We have been with our candidates often from the beginning of their career, and we're so proud to see more and more of them in leadership. The truth is, this is a system. Our government was not made for us. It was made for rich old white guys. That's who ran our government. And honestly, that's who's run our government for way too long, right? That is still the majority of our government. And so there's this vision that that's who's electable, that because that's who we've always elected. There's a vision that that's who, you know, that's who knows what they're doing. And the truth is, running for office is not rocket science. It's hard work.
Yes.
But we can teach you what you need to know. And that's something that that we work very hard with our candidates on. And our candidates all, they work really hard. They do the work. And to your point earlier, when they get in office, boy, do they make us proud. I mean, our sole mission is to get them in office. But we love what they do once they're there because they pass more bills. They work more across the aisle. They bring their colleagues in. They get more done. And they raise issues that don't get raised if they're not there. And at a point in our country's history where our rights are so under attack, where we have rolled backwards from where we were, it's critical that our government looks more like us so that all of our issues are actually at the table and up for debate instead of being ignored or instead of being trampled on. And so that's not even the long version of the story, but that I will stop rambling and let you ask questions.
Christina, we will continue to tell the story about how early money is like yeast. It raises the dough.
That's right.
And that as the seed, if you will permit me to torture these growing metaphors some more.
Sure.
The seed, the money, the critical nature of early money in campaigns and the reticence of the traditional systems, even within the Democratic Party, which you would have thought was more inclined, were so entrenched. And I think this point is so fundamental to the work of Emily's List. It's why I'm so excited to have you joining the Maggie Dawn Show. And that is, we had to sort of shake up the system a little bit. And without an organization like Emily's List, I'll say it, Kamala Harris ain't VP, period, full stop. It is that essential when you're trying to, again, get candidates through those early down ballot races, get that visibility going. And the money simply wasn't there because the establishment, as you rightly put, Christina, was all old rich white dudes. And they tended to call the shots in favor of other old rich white dudes, even within the Democratic Party. We've been talking about some of the impacts, why it's so important to elect pro-choice Democratic women. And I wanted to elevate, to raise up, just affirm three critical things that you said in terms of general impacts. And then we can talk about some of the other candidates that have been some of Emily's list's greatest success story. Sure. The number 1700 is astounding. Oh. And that is when you see more women in elected offices, and I don't care what legislature you're looking at, what bodies you're looking at, you'll see more bills actually get passed. You will see a greater panoply of issues, which encompass, I think, the things that most voters care most deeply about. We hear politicians talk about kitchen table issues. These are the things that women will not let move off of the table. They will not let those fundamental issues that are so important to each and every one of you and your families get ignored. So we see different issues, and there's simply more reaching across the aisle. There is more collaboration. And I'm going to say this pretty point blank. I don't want to mean to put words in your mouth, Christina. My experience of government at the federal level, at two levels of local government, working with state officials, has been this consistently and in every facet of government that I've seen. Women do not lead as much or at all from a place of ego satisfaction. All politicians have a healthy ego because you raise your hand to lead, but the type of leadership deeply matters. And I see women stepping up because there is a more consistent desire to serve and less ego-driven policies and politics.
I want to jump on that for a second, if you don't mind, Maggie. I think one of the things that we see very clearly is that when women run, it is usually to address a problem in their community or to make things better in their community. It is not just to get to the next level, and so on. It is for a specific reason. Kamala Harris is a good example of this. Yes. You know, when we hear her talk about her childhood friend who was sexually abused, and you know that driving her work to go into being a prosecutor. But I think we see that, and one of the best examples of that is what happened after Donald Trump won. And that was I worked for Hillary Clinton. That was a tragic day. That was a tough day. In the entire election cycle, in the 2 year period before that day, about 900 and some women had reached out to Emily's List and said, "Hey, I'd like help running for office. Can you help me?" And that was a record. They called it the Hillary bump at the time.
Yes, yes.
In the first month after Donald Trump got elected, 1,000 women reached out. And that continued to grow. So we were over 40,000 in that first cycle after Trump, in that 2018 cycle. And that includes, in the beginning, women were finding old links on our website that we didn't even know were still there. Chrissy Houlihan, who is a member of Congress from Pennsylvania, wonderful leader. Chrissy, her daughter is LGBTQ. Chrissy herself is a veteran, but she, when Trump won, she said, "I worry about my daughter's future and you know her rights, and I worry about what's going to happen to America." And she hit reply to a $3 fundraising email from Emily's List, and attached her resume and said, "I think I'd like to run for office. What do you think?" And someone found that and got, which I'm still impressed by, but someone found that and got back to her. That's just one example, but I think it is a sign. What happened after Trump got elected was women said two things. One, I am very worried about my community. We had a lot of women running for healthcare because they were worried that he would overturn Obamacare and what would that mean. But they said, "I'm worried about what's going to happen in my community to, you know, to my friends and neighbors," all of those things. And they said, if that guy can be president, I'm going to figure out how to do this, right? I can run for the House. I can run for whatever.
If the bar's that low. If
they, that's the bar. I know the bar. Meet that. That's right.
Christina, I'm going to hop in here. This is Christina Reynolds, my very special guest for this first installment of, I'm going to call it, it's the year of the woman, Women Save America, the Maggie Dawn Show with Emily's List. You're going to find this segment here every week in the 2:30 slot. You're not going to want to miss it. We're going to come back with Christina Reynolds, the Senior Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List. We're going to talk about what Emily's List looks for in a candidate. And certainly what I'm hearing is it's a desire to serve. It's a desire to address issues and concerns of family and community. This is what we see consistently in Emily's List candidates. I love it. I could talk about this for the rest of my show, for the rest of my days. Christina, thanks so much for being here. Folks, if you've got questions or comments, for Christina or I, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. This is the year of the woman, especially Black women, saving America yet again. What a wonderful time to be talking about supporting and funding people. We got to do it, funding female candidates, because early money is like yeast. That is the Emily of Emily's List. We'll hear more about it after these important messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, everybody. We'll be right back. Everything is awesome when you are part of the Emily Blitz team. We are talking about women in politics and why it is good for America. It is the year of the woman. It is yet again an election cycle where Black women are going to save America. My special guest for what is now a weekly segment here on the Maggie Dawn Show is Christina Reynolds. She is the Senior VP of Communications and Content at Emily's List. Every Wednesday, folks, in the 2:30 slot, you're going to want to tune in. If you care about politics, if you love a woman, you're going to want to tune in every Wednesday at 2:30. Thanks so much for making time, Christina. We left it and we were talking about really women running, not because they want to climb the ladder of politics, but running because they feel compelled to do so, to redress a wrong, to address a need in their family or their community, to make things better. It's usually not because they think they're going to become president, as is the case for Vice President Harris. I think if you asked her, while she isn't surprised, I think, of where she might be, I don't think she would have said to you when she was running for DA in San Francisco many moons ago that this was clearly in the horizon. Though a funny story about our vice president, this one I can't take credit for. I heard it on the Lawrence O'Donnell show. If you don't know this, when she, and maybe you can speak to this, Christina, because I want to ask you about what are the characteristics, what are the sorts of qualities that Emily's List looks for in potential female candidates. But one of the things that I find really cool is that when Kamala Harris was running for district attorney in San Francisco, Karl Rove, who, if you're not a political wonk, I'll tell you who he is. He's been a longtime Republican strategist. He's now gotten pretty outspoken in his criticisms of Trump, but he's been a conservative strategist and sort of wordsmith, if you will, for many, many years. He saw Kamala Harris speak. And he got real scared and he spent a ton of money to try to defeat her when she ran for the district attorney's office in San Francisco, because he thought this woman can go the distance. Thank you to Emily's List for making sure Karl Rove did not have his way. What is it, Christina, that you look for in candidates?
Well, I, first of all, I just can't believe you found something on which Karl Rove and I agree, but she can go the distance. Yes. She is doing the work. What do we look for? First and foremost is a candidate who has a reason for running and a story to tell. That story can vary. We've seen a lot of different stories out there and a lot of really powerful messages being told, a lot of people talking about their own lived experience. And I think voters are ready to hear that, which is really exciting. You have to be willing to do the work. It is hard work to run for office. It takes a lot of time. You do, unfortunately, have to raise money. I will tell you, as someone who is allergic to asking for people to chip in for the, you know, for pizza when I was in college, like that's not for me, but you could do it. We can teach you how, but you have to be willing to put in the time and put in the work. You know, we look at where do you live? What are the best offices? Is it a district that we think, you know, there's a path to victory? We don't only play in the easy districts, but also, you know, we don't have unlimited resources. And so we are certainly looking for where we can tell all of our supporters, yes, this candidate's got a shot with your help. And so all of those are things that we look for. The one thing that I think it's really important to know is there is no one box that like, this is what you have to fit in to be a good candidate. And I do think that's shifted some over the years. But I think what Emily's List is about and has proven is that you don't have to look like everyone who's been elected before. You can break out of that mold and create your own new mold. I mean, I love Vice President Harris said at one point, like, is she the next this person or that person? And I think she said, I'm just Kamala. And yes, that's right. You know, we don't, women candidates sort of struggle against we don't have the archetypes to rely on. You can't look at a woman candidate and say, oh, she reminds me of Reagan or of this person, because there haven't been that many women in this national leadership level. But that can also be a benefit. We can make our own, you know, our own archetypes. And that's a powerful thing and one we're seeing right now at the top of the ticket.
As an economist and a trial lawyer that practiced in securities litigation in New York and abroad, I when I hear stories about this and these archetypes, I've been told by judges that I need to wear a skirt in courtrooms. I've been told by jury consultants, my hair's got to be down and blonder, be nicer, but be firm, all of these things. I love Emily's List work because of this very idea of we're going to remake the way that this is done so that there is a seat for everyone. You do not have to fit in these boxes. Mm-hmm. Bless you all for that. As a woman who's endured that in my own field,
I have to say it is a huge credit to the thousands of women who have run, because putting your name on a ballot is a very difficult thing. And what we find for so many of our women is they may be the first, whatever they are, woman of color, you know, LGBTQ woman, disabled woman, they may be the first of their kind to get elected in their region. They have usually been a first when they walk into different rooms, and they're willing to raise their hand and do that. And it's a wonderful thing to get to work for women who are so brave and put them, you know, put themselves out there like that.
I always joke, after the first time it was my first, it's never been my first time being a first anymore. We're running out of time, Christina. Very briefly, for people looking to help elect Democratic pro-choice women, what's the best way to get involved?
Yep. Our website, emilyslist.org. You can find all of our candidates. You can find ways. There's a handy dandy thing. If you want to just throw a few bucks at all of them, that money goes directly to the candidates. You can support Emily's List. I would also say follow us on all the social media. One of the biggest things we need to do is lift up the women's accomplishments. And you can find a lot of that on our site and through our social media.
You can find them on the twit at Emily's List and on Instagram at Emily's_List. That's Christina Reynolds, the SVP for communications and content at Emily's List. Emily's List going to join the Maggie Dawn Show every Wednesday at 2:30. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.